Oliver Callan on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Get Set Go. Get comprehensive car insurance today at getsetgo.ie.
Welcome back. Everything is happening in this programme today. We're looking at all things TV and film now with our very own screen team. They're back, our regular friend Olivia Fahey, editor of Geek Ireland, who's very excited today and wearing Stranger Things merch head to toe as well. And Paddy Cullivan, historian, musical entertainer, is also here as well.
Yes.
Working last night at the Book Awards.
At the Book Awards. It was fantastic.
That ends early, doesn't it? Writers don't stay.
It was kind of like a Russian novel last night. It went on quite a long time. It was fantastic. But they will edit it wonderfully, I'm sure.
Okay, let's start with, everyone is talking about this show, even though I'm the only person on this team that's ever seen Stranger Things. What's wrong with them, says you, because you're mad for it, Olivia.
Honestly, I am. And when you said I'm decked out head to toe, like, you're not kidding. I have a hair clip with a Demogorgon in my hair. I've got my jumper on, which is the Hawkins Tigers, you know, the high school jumper. I've got my Hellfire Club t-shirt on as well, and it's hidden under the jumper for, and as a reference for those who have seen the new four episodes.
About to say, does anyone know what we're talking about? So are you Stranger Things? Do we need to explain it to you, Patty?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, so Stranger Things is set in this town called Hawkins. Yeah. And like way back, so season one, the very first episode is this young boy is kidnapped and taken into this other dimension. This dimension is called the Upside Down. And it is a kind of midway dimension between our reality and Dimension X, which is where all of these ghouls and creatures called Demogorgons or Demodogs as well. There's all these different kinds of creatures. And the Upside Down is kind of like this pathway that they've been using now to get into our reality.
Sorry, it's about the kids having fun, the nerds who are really
that
funny.
Too. They're also playing Dungeons
it's
and Dragons.
It's Spielbergian. They're going around on the chopper bikes.
Oh, very good, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Bit E.T.-ish, yeah.
Pretty exactly. much, yeah. So yeah, it's all about trying to get Will back from the Upside Down. Okay. And, you know, there's all these like
Winona
Ryder's brilliant. Yeah. She plays Will's mom, Joyce. And there's also this like girl who has superpowers that the kids meet up with and... Yeah, that's how season one kind of starts. So that's
final,
what you
final,
need to know.
Final season. Yeah. We were watching season four thinking it was the end. And I sat down and I ignored all the press for like a month because it was after Christmas.
Oh, really?
And then I was watching the last episode. It sets up the last season. I was expecting it back. So now you've watched how many episodes of the new...
So the first four episodes have dropped of season five. Yeah. I was very, very, very fortunate to get a preview of them during the week. I watched them all in one day. And then I was really mad at myself because I was like, well, now I have to wait even longer for the next batch of
Stevens
episodes.
Stephen's day.
So yes, they're releasing it in three batches. But I have to say, they have kicked off the final season with one hell of a bang. And even like the very final shot of episode four. Cinema. Pure cinema.
Oh, right. And they're very long. They're like movie length.
They are movie length. So you're looking at, I think the shortest episode is episode two. And that is, I think, 57 minutes. Then everything else is kind of like just over an hour, hour and a half. Episode four is an hour and a half.
The reviews are quite good, aren't they?
They are. Like the critics,
you're giving it a big, big good review here.
Honest to God, I was really nervous for it because it's been so long and also like the pressure on the Duffer Brothers' shoulders to actually get the final season right. That you don't want them to Game of Thrones it. That's essentially what people are afraid
of. Which
is
a terrible ending, is what you mean.
Well, a lot of people thought it was a terrible ending. I think Paddy and I might actually be in agreement that we...
Oh, come on, Game of Thrones was like Coronation Street and then finally it got cinematic and things started to actually happen.
People went on fire.
I loved it. I loved it. And it wasn't too dark.
And the thing is, like, I'm in agreement with you on that as well.
I've seen the episode of the show that you're watching that people are talking about, The Beast in Me.
Oh, The Beast in Me. I'm loving this. This is an American psychological thriller on Netflix starring Claire Danes and Matthew Rhys. And it's like, it's what would I call it? It's like it's a murder mystery, but it's very much in that Dominic Dunne style. If anyone knows what I mean, it's kind of American high society stuff. So set on Long Island out in the suburbs.
Beautiful houses, yeah.
Yeah, where Claire Danes is a writer. Now, of course, Claire Danes is Carrie Matheson. She can never be anything
I've
else.
I've never seen her since Homeland. But well, she's
a bag of nerves at this as well. She's a complete box of ticks. Matthew Rhys plays this way, overarchingly evil person. The pair of them act so much that they don't just chew the scenery. They've literally digested the furniture and everything around them and they're just standing in space.
They're neighbours who hate each other.
Well, they're neighbours. Yeah, she's a writer. Her son died in an accident. She's trying to write a book about Ruth Bader Ginsburg and her friendship with Antony Scalia. And she has lunch with this millionaire who moves in, this property developer, and he says, "That's boring." So write a book about me. People don't want to hear about people getting on. They want gossip and carnage. So there's some great dialogue in it, I have to say. And they do.
It's sadly true as well.
Yeah, now, and he's accused of murdering his wife. And of course, it's a thriller that keeps moving on. It's only six episodes or eight episodes. So it's a.
Is it? Okay.
It's a great.
And, have you seen it all?
You can watch it all. Oh, yeah.
You've seen it all?
I watch everything for you, Oliver. I do. I binge watch.
It stays good to the end.
It stays good. Now, it's a bit. You know, with all of these things, it moves a wee bit slowly, but it's very decisive, yeah. And it gets very. There's a great AOC character in it, Antonio Cortez, Ocasio-Cortez, who's the Democrat
member
young
of the squad, mm. Yeah,
yeah,
and liberal progressives.
Yeah, she's protesting against this man building a block of things, and of course she's totally corruptible, as we know that all politicians are eventually.
But not that particular politician you mentioned. There's no evidence. There you go.
There's no evidence. Legal so note. She's not. It's a character. It's someone that's like her. I really enjoyed it. If you love that kind of high society thriller. You know, pummeling towards a great ending, watch it. And Matthew Rhys from The Americans.
And he's Welsh, isn't he?
He's Welsh, yeah.
But, so he's putting on an American accent.
He's fantastic. He's taken his dark side of his character from The Americans and just does that all the way through.
Yeah. He's a good Al Rotter, isn't he? So they're two great shows, and they're both on Netflix, the biggest streaming, the most subscribed one in Ireland that we know about anyway. Hidden Gems. I love the Hidden Gems you gave us the last time. So we'll start with you, Olivia, your Hidden Gem this time.
Right? Well, considering it's going to be December next week, which is kind of shocking to me, I have actually picked a Christmas movie, one that's on Apple TV Plus, and it's called Spirited. So for people who have Apple TV Plus, like, fantastic, you'll be able to check it out.
Yeah.
Came out, I think it was around 2022, and it stars Will Ferrell and Ryan Reynolds. It is a musical. The music is written by the duo who did La La Land. So the music is absolutely top notch.
Yeah.
I honestly have had some of the songs going around in my head before I even watched it this season.
Until now, I thought I was the only person who'd seen this film.
Really?
Yeah, because no one talks about it.
No one does.
It's a Christmas carol, essentially, with the two lads. But the songs, I particularly love Good Afternoon. That's the hit.
It's so good. And it's like, so basically that's the way they say pee off.
Yeah. F off. Yeah. The Victorian kind of period. And it's like, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah. Afternoon, sir.
So yes, if anyone has ever heard me say good afternoon to them, yeah, sorry. You've just discovered what I've actually been saying to you.
And the Ryan Reynolds Scrooge is just amazing. He's kind of like a present day tech.
He is. He's kind of like, he's the one that kind of coordinates all of these like online feuds, and they're usually always fake, and then they have like all these apologies and how people are getting publicity, or even if there's kind of like, someone has one scandal going on, they'll tweet something to basically just like detract from that thing. And his business is kind of creating them. And we've got Will Ferrell as the Ghost of Christmas Present. You've got the Ghost of Christmas Past and Future as well. Jacob Marley is kind of like the guy who runs this whole thing.
Yeah,
and
really they clever.
So it's like, instead of just doing a one-off for Scrooge, they're actually, this is a business that they do in the afterlife, that they go and they try and like revamp somebody's life.
Love it.
And it is absolutely brilliant. Give it a try.
Because I need a good Christmas film. Since Elf is my favourite thing.
I think it's Will Ferrell's first Christmas effort.
It was,
Elf as well.
Oh, good, because Elf is my favourite thing. It's like every time, you know, someone is complaining, I just say, make work your favourite thing. I just say it to them. You know, just it's my favourite line.
Endlessly quotable.
Why are you smiling? Smile is my favourite thing. Make work your favourite thing.
Do you have a Christmas Carol version that you'd like, Pat? Do you like Scrooged, the Bill Murray one? Have you seen
Scrooge
that?
Is okay. I don't love Bill Murray as much as everybody else does. I think that some of the originals, the original, there's a David Lean one, I think, isn't there, from the 40s?
David Lean one.
Alistair Sims, I believe.
Yeah, he definitely plays Scrooge.
Those ones are great.
I don't know your hidden gem.
Well, it's not a hidden gem really, because it was a massive hit, but I missed it, right? And it's called Billionaire's Bunker. And in Spanish, it's El Refugio Atomico.
El Refugio Atomico.
As in the atomic refugees. So it's a 2025 Spanish thriller, again on Netflix, written by the people who did Money Heist. So if you know Money Heist, that was the biggest show ever on Netflix.
That's
it's a worldwide phenomenon.
Until Stranger Things, until Wednesday.
Yeah, in the face of a threat posed by imminent nuclear war, a group of billionaires reside in a bunker called the Chimera Underground Park.
That's very on fleek.
Well, it's very on fleek, yeah. So all the billionaires have paid 50 million quid each to go and live in this bunker.
Really happening.
But yes, and it's very, very huge, and it's like Money Heist. If anyone knows Money Heist, it's absolutely outrageous TV making.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a mix of Lost with Prison Break with everything. It's, you know, there's endless flashbacks,
it's
outrageous characters, insane plot lines, relentless exposition, and all and it's always revolutionary fervor, you know, and there's loads of sex in it and everything. It's just they've thrown everything against
Important
the wall.
Important question, when you're watching the Spanish content on Netflix, yeah. are you watching the horrible English dubbed version or do you watch the Spanish?
I love the horrible English dubbed version.
Do you?
Really?
I don't want to read television. I'm not there to read. I did the book awards last night, not the TV awards. I want to look at TV and look at the very attractive
but
people.
They say things there's no way they would be saying.
It doesn't matter.
The sound in the background is mixed out.
And it doesn't sync up a lot of the time either. Like, I tried that for Squid Game and it was awful. I was like, no, just give me back the Korean.
No, I have to watch it without the subtitles. Sorry, I don't want to read the show. I'm very visual. but here's the other thing. It's like Squid Game. It's like Snowpiercer and Silo if they'd done all of those entire series in one episode.
Efficiently.
It moves beautifully. And it's like one minute it's Days of Our Lives where these incredibly boring billionaires talk about how they had affairs with each other 20 years ago.
That's a very long series, by the way, your Billionaires Bunker.
No, it's only 8 episodes.
Oh, it's only 8 episodes.
Yeah, but it's going to have another episode. It's going to have another season.
Is the algorithm sending you all the Spanish shows now?
It's sending me everything. It's like a high concept Truman Show 1 minute and then it's like Days of Our Lives the next minute. And I love it. It's as musty and delicious as a leg of Iberico ham with a glass of Rioja.
Oh my God, you work so hard for this, the screen team.
I know.
What are you most looking forward to, Olivia?
Oh, Wake Up Dead Man is my next big watch, I think. I'm a big murder mystery fan and this is part of the Knives Out kind of trilogy now.
I'm a huge fan of Glass Onion. It didn't reach the high point of the beautiful American gothic tale of the first
one. It didn't, but you know what? I actually think it was kind of a better story as well. It had a lot more twists to it. And I think when you go back and watch it, it is actually still a very, very good film and very like brilliant performances. Wake Up Dead Man, we are now looking at a murder mystery surrounding a priest who is kind of like he just shows up dead. He goes off into the back room and when they go chasing after him, they're kind of like, oh, he did. but it has like another all-star cast. We've got Daniel Craig returning as Benoit Blanc. We've got Josh Brolin, I think, is playing the priest who dies. Josh O'Connor, Kerry Washington, Jeremy Renner, Glenn Close, Mila Kunis, Kaylee Spenny. And then we also have two Irish actors as well. Andrew Scott and Daryl McCormack.
Oh my gosh, they must all get one line each.
Well, it's always a good ensemble kind of piece as well. And so it's actually in cinemas, select cinemas now.
The previous ones weren't in cinema, were they?
No, I don't think they were. No, but it's going to be on Netflix on the 12th of December. So if you are not keen to go to see it in the cinema, it'll be on.
Really long though, will it?
I think it's about 2 and a bit hours.
Okay, that's grand. So
yeah,
cinema trip.
Not too bad.
Paddy, you're looking forward to seeing The Abandons.
The Abandons, an upcoming American Western created by Kurt Sutter of Sons of Anarchy. I adored Sons of Anarchy.
No way. It's I did not know he was doing a Western.
Yeah, it's set in the 1850s. It's a conflict between outlaw groups in the Old West. Fiona Nolan, a devout Irish woman who is incapable of conceiving a child, tries to build a family, adopting four orphans.
The main character is Fiona Nolan.
Fiona Nolan, and it's played by Lena Headey, who was Cersei Lannister in Game of Thrones. So I can't wait to see scenes of her walking down and people going shame and it also stars Gillian Anderson.
She's in everything.
It's great. So like as I get older I like things to get better looking, and this is going to be a show that I really want to see. I'm looking forward because, and also the Western is going through a major brilliant revival, like Yellowstone and all of
it
this
is,
and I adore all these films.
The MAGA have finally given us something good.
Well, yes, absolutely. And what I love about it now, it's giving us new interpretations of history, you know, that they're devoid of the simplistic oppressed narrative everyone bought in the local opinion Eurospar over the last decade.
the local opinion Eurospar.
Yeah, the Europinion.
Because the Westerns are nice and nuanced. They kind of were. Unforgiven was very...
They were nuanced, yeah. But the old divides, I don't know if anybody watched Yellowstone, but the ending is just the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
No, I haven't seen
yeah, so I can't ruin it, obviously. But it's just they're really examining themselves, American in Western, and I really think it's very interesting.
The Abandons is out this day week, in fact, the 4th of December on Netflix as well.
Yes.
I was going to say we've gone very Netflix heavy this
very
week,
Netflix,
haven't we?
Yeah, loads of Apple the last time.
Yeah.
Apple Plus.
Yeah.
Do you have them all? My gosh, I don't know which. I got rid of Paramount, which had Yellowstone, but it's on the player as well.
Oh, yeah, no, watch. I watched it all on RT, would you believe? On the player. Yeah.
And it remembers where you last
with the ads watched. And everything.
That's dedication.
Well, men, I could take toilet breaks. It was fantastic.
Thanks a million to Paddy Cullivan and Olivia Fahey, our screen team, who will be back again when we need more content. And apologies to the Bill Murray fans out there. That's our business for this week. I won't be here next week. Brendan Courtney will be here on Monday. Dermot Whelan at the back end of the week. But Rachel English is coming up next. You'll next hear me on Callan's Kicks tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a lovely weekend, everybody. Slán.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1. Listen back on the RTE Radio app.